We're very pleased and honored to have as a guest speaker this evening, guest teacher, An Hung Nguyen. She and her husband, too, have practiced the art of mindful living with Thich Nhat Hanh for 24 years now, but I think it's probably more than that, more than 24 years, going up to 30 years. They have led mindfulness retreats in the United States since 1988, and in 1992 were the first students to be ordained as Dharma teachers by Thich Nhat Hanh. An Hung has also worked with Thich Nhat Hanh, translating many of his books into English, including The Sun, My Heart, and The Diamond That Cuts Through Illusion. She's the author with Thich Nhat Hanh of Walking Meditation. She and two are principal teachers at the Mindfulness Practice Center of Fairfax. It's a great honor to have An Hung with us this evening.
I have a question for you. What would you like me to talk about tonight? You want me to talk about suffering or about happiness? How about self-compassion? Okay. So you have any preference? You want suffering or you want happiness? Did you want the lotus or you want the mud? We need both. So the teaching, we are here because we want to touch. The guided meditation helps us to open our hearts so that we can look into our heart and see and touch the Buddha within. The capacity to stop, to relax, to rest, to take care of ourselves and to listen deeply, to look deeply, so that we can understand what is going on in here and take good care of it. We touch the Buddha within. So every Wednesday night we come here, we have a chance, we have the support to do that. Hello, dear Buddha. It's time for us to be together again. We've been so busy the whole week. So the teaching of the Buddha is very clear. Suffering exists. And the teaching of the Buddha shows us the way out of suffering. And it's important for us to learn about right view. We need to have a right view about suffering, the right view of happiness. So we want to make sure that we go in the right direction. We don't create more suffering. We don't run away from suffering. We can understand the makeup of our suffering so we know what to do and what not to do in order not to create more suffering, not to feed our suffering. When something has come to be, it must have required food, right? We need food to be alive. A feeling needs food to continue to be there and to keep manifesting. Suffering needs food in order to continue. Happiness also needs food in order to continue. And so the teaching of the Buddha is very clear. When we look into our suffering and we see the kinds of foods that feed our suffering, then if we stop feeding ourselves with those kinds of food, we suffer less. And so I'm going to share with you the teaching of the Buddha on these four kinds of food, four kinds of nutrients. We know that when we eat a lot of sugar, we cannot think right. We cannot focus. So in order for us to think right, to focus, we should eat less sugar or refrain from eating sugar, right? It's an enlightenment. And so the teaching on the four kinds of nutrients begins with the first nutriment is edible food, the food that comes by the way of the mouth. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, food. And we need to stop and look at the kinds of food that we ingest by the way of the mouth every day. So many times a day. And see what kinds of food can bring well-being and what kinds of food can bring ill-being. And so with a pencil and a piece of paper, we can begin writing down what we have for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner, in terms of food, in terms of drink. And we can even look more deeply to see how the food was grown. We can practice looking deeply into this first kind of nutriment the time we go food shopping. We bring it home, we cook, we place it on the table, we eat. The Buddha gives an example when he talked about this first kind of nutriment. He gave an example of a young couple with their 2-year-old son, and they were crossing a desert. And because they did not calculate right, so they ran out of food in the middle of the way. After much contemplation, the couple decided that they should kill their 2-year-old son to get food. And so they cried a lot. When they put an end to their son's life, and they carried the baby's corpse on their shoulders so it can dry. And then every day, when they had to get a little flesh of their son to eat, they cried and cried and cried. Where is my son? Where is my baby? Where are you? They did not enjoy eating their son's flesh at all, but they had to do it because they couldn't die. They had to survive. When I first heard about this story, I got goosebumps. But then as I looked and looked more deeply, I realized that if we do not live mindfully, more or less, we are doing that. We consume toxins. We eat foods that do damage to our bodies. We drink things that do more harm to our bodies than good. We think that this is our bodies and we have complete right to do whatever we want to this body. Here and there we hear teenagers who say to their parents, "This is my body. I can do whatever I want. If I do something wrong, I eat something wrong, I get sick, I suffer, so what?" But when we look deeply, we see that this is our body, but this is also the body of our parents, of our children, of our grandchildren. When we smoke cigarettes, for example, we are eating up our lungs. When we eat a lot of bad fats, we are eating up our hearts, our blood vessels. So we are eating our own babies. And so the image, the example given by the Buddha, it's very drastic. It's very scary. But if we have the support and the courage to really look deeply at the foods we eat, the foods we consume by the way of the mouth, we will come to a better understanding of what we are eating and what we are doing to our bodies. We need to be strong and healthy so we can be there for the people we love, especially for our children, for our grandchildren. If we are eating up our lungs and our hearts and our kidneys and our livers, who is taking care of ourselves? Who is there to take care of our children, our grandchildren, and all those who need us to be healthy, well? The second kind of nutriment the Buddha teaches us is called sense impressions. Sense impressions, what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what our consciousness comes into contact with, what our mind comes into contact with, becomes the food for us. It's called sense impressions, the second kind of food. We know that our sense organs are in constant contact with sense objects everywhere. The moment we open our eyes, we see, we smell, we listen, we hear things. And if we're not mindful, we allow ourselves to see things, to look at things, to listen to things, to eat things, to be in touch with things that can bring toxins into our body, into our mind. We can sit there and watch a television program for half an hour or 1 hour, and by the time we turn off the TV, we feel so exhausted. We don't have hope anymore. We don't have any more energy. When we read the newspaper, we read from the beginning until the end, we feel completely exhausted. When we talk on the phone, some conversations we talk for half an hour, 1 hour, 2 hours, and by the time we hang up the phone, we feel so exhausted. We feel so depressed. And we know that young children in our time, they're watching television on the average. How many hours a week? Too many. The Buddha gives an example. Regarding this second nutriment, he gives an example of an example of what? The cow. There's a cow with a very bad skin disease, almost having no skin left. And when the cow comes close to an ancient tree, all the insects, the bacteria, come to the cow's body and suck the cow's flesh. When the cow comes into the river, all the insects, the bacteria, come and suck on the cow's body. And the Buddha is saying that when we live our life unmindfully, we are very much like that cow with a skin disease. There's no protection. The skin serves as a protection for our body, but when there's no skin, there's no mindfulness. Anything, whatever we happen to see, whatever we happen to hear, whatever food that happens to come to us, we just take them all in without knowing what we're taking into our system. And that example, that image of a cow with a very serious skin disease gives us a lot of compassion for that cow, for ourselves. So maybe we should put a mindfulness sentinel on every sense organ so we know what we're looking, we know what we're listening, and if it's bringing toxins into our body, our mind, our heart, we should stop. We should refrain from doing that. The third kind of nutriment is called volition. What is it that you want the most? Volition. V-O-L-I-T-I-O-N. What is it that you like the most, you want to do the most? What is your deepest wish, your deepest wanting? Our volition becomes a very important kind of food for our mind, for our body. If we want to have a job with a very high pay, then day and night, we keep thinking about how to get that job, or what we should do, what kind of trainings we should get in order to get that position with high pay. Day and night, even in our sleep, our subconscious mind continues to find ways so that we can get a job with a high salary. If our volition is to become happy, to be happy, and to share that happiness with other people, then day and night, we want to learn and to live in a way that we can feel lighter and happier, and we can share that with those around us. And so volition is the third kind of nutriment that we need to have the time and the support and the space to really look deeply to see what kind of volition that we've been carrying in our heart for so many years. And regarding this third nutriment, the Buddha gave an example of, is there any volunteer? Of a two very strong men. Two strong men, very strong men, who are dragging a third person, a third man, to a pit of fire. Pushing the third man into this glowing ember. Of course, this third man cannot resist because these two strong men are very strong. That is our volition. Our volition is like these two big, strong men dragging us, pushing us in the direction to get what we want. The fourth kind of nutriment is called consciousness. We know that in our store consciousness, the lower level of our consciousness, our subconsciousness, it's like a piece of land. And in that piece of land, there are many, many seeds. And each seed represents a mental formation, a kind of energy, an experience that we had in the past, that we had when we were babies, when we were young children, when we were teenagers, and so on. Whatever happened in our life, stay there in the form of seeds. And not just this lifetime, but all the experiences, the happiness and the suffering of our parents, of our ancestors, are also there in the soil of our mind. And so in every moment of our life, we think, we speak, we act. If we don't act, if we don't talk, then we think. So our thoughts, our words, our actions are the results, are the manifestations of all these seeds in the soil of our mind. We constantly produce thoughts, we produce words, we produce actions. And these thoughts, words, and actions become food for our mind, for our heart, for our body. They create the world in which we live. Our thoughts, our words, our actions create the world in which we live. And they create the way, they shape the way that we use to look at the world and ourselves and other people. The fourth kind of nutriment we called consciousness. But for us to easier to understand that, we should call it collective consciousness. All of our consciousness, collectively. When we put ourselves in an environment, when there's a collective peace and harmony, we feel nourished. When we go to the place when there's a lot of energy of hate and misunderstanding and anger and confusion, that becomes a kind of food for our consciousness. And so when we eat, we receive the energy of violence in the surrounding, the energy of fear in the surrounding, the energy of doubt in the surrounding, in the environment. Then we will learn to think, to talk, to act from fear, from violence, from doubt. Because when we are exposed to fear, violence, doubt, they water the seeds of fear, violence, and doubt in the soil of our mind. And when the seeds get big, they grow, they manifest in our mind, and then we act, we think, we speak. Our words, our thoughts, and actions carry those energies of fear and violence. And regarding this last nutriment, the Buddha gave the image of what? Gave an example of a king putting a sentence to a very dangerous murderer. The king was told that there's a very dangerous murderer in the village. And he asked his soldiers to come and get this murderer, and he ordered that 300 sharp knives should be plunged into the body of this murderer to kill this man who created so much suffering in the village. And so after the soldiers did what the king ordered, they came back and say, the murderer is still alive. And so in the afternoon, the king asked to give him 300 stabs. And then the soldiers did the same thing, and they came back and reported to the king that this man is still alive. And then, of course, the king asked them to use sharper knives and do the same thing. It's very scary. But when we stop and look deeply into this example, we see there's a tremendous of suffering here in that man. Because we're not mindful, we're not careful, we don't have time to really stop and contemplate our bodies, our mind, our lives. We allow ourselves to be stabbed by so many sharp knives so many times every day in our life. When we turn on a television and we sit there and watch any television program and we cannot push the off button, because there's a big empty space within, we don't know what to do with it. Or we can just go and rent any kind of video and watch. Or we can just open a magazine and read and read and read. And we don't know that these can bring so many toxins to our body, to our consciousness. And so what we learn from the teaching of the four nutriments is that we should be very, very humble, very mindful, and with a pen and a piece of paper, maybe a notebook, every day we should find a time to sit down and see what kind of foods that we take into our bodies and our mind. And if we can understand the foods that we ingest, we can bring more well-being and less ill-being to our bodies. Shariputra is the great disciple of the Buddha. And he said, when we look into our suffering, we look deeply into our suffering, and we can understand the kinds of food that feed our suffering, then we are already on the path of liberation, of happiness. We already suffer less the moment we recognize that this is ill-being. This kind of food will bring ill-being to my mind, to my body. This is toxin. That very moment, we already begin to suffer less. So the understanding of the four kinds of nutriments is very important for us as we walk on the path of happiness, of transforming old habits, transforming our suffering. These are not pure teachings. These examples are offered in the teaching of the four kinds of nutriments are an invitation for us to really re-examine our life, the way we live our life, and how we spend our time, our free time, and so on. So each day we have new understanding. Each day we have new insight into our life. We know what we should ingest more and what we should stop ingesting or we should ingest less. And as we continue to do so, we regain a sense of stability, confidence, trust, compassion. And with that, we move forward on the path of happiness, the path of service. When I know that if I feel a lot of loneliness in my heart, and I just go and turn on the television, I bring a lot of toxins into my body, especially the program that has a lot of violence and anger. When I know that, I recognize loneliness in me, I practice mindful breathing. I choose a very safe, comfortable place to sit down, to lie down. And I just place my hand on my heart. And I know that I have done this so many times in the past. Whenever I feel lonely, I have to go to the television and just pick up the remote control and just turn on. Any program would do it. And I place my hand on my heart. And I visualize that this is the hand of my teacher, the hand of the Buddha, the hand of the people who love and care deeply for me. And then I breathe deeply. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to get out of this anymore. I ask the Buddha for help. I ask the people I love for help. I ask my teacher, Mother Earth, the trees, the birds, the rain, the flowers for help. And then I place my hand on my heart and I breathe in and out the way I share with you tonight. Breathing in, I feel extremely lonely. Breathing out, my teacher said it's okay. The Buddha said it's okay. Because the Buddha had loneliness too, and my teacher has loneliness too. I am not the only one. And when I continue to breathe and just feel, at the beginning I could not feel my breath. Because my whole body was so tense, was so scared when this energy of loneliness manifested. It was very strong. And so I said, I breathe in, but I couldn't feel my breath. My chest was all hardened up, very, very tense right here. And then I continue to call on the Buddha and all the teachers and all the friends in the community who are solid, who are loving and kind to me for support. And then I can feel the sky above and Mother Earth beneath. And the mountains and the rivers, and then I allow that to enter me. I couldn't find my breath at the beginning, but I just allow myself to die and just let that boundless source of nourishment and love to flow through me. And gradually, I just repeated what I learned. I feel lonely, and it's okay, like that. It's okay. It was no longer I who said to myself, it's okay, but it was the Buddha's voice and all the teacher's voice telling me it's okay. And as I continued to place my hand on my chest, my body was lying down and Mother Earth was holding me. I didn't have to sit straight or to stand straight. I can just surrender completely to Mother Earth and allow Mother Universe breath to seep through me in that moment. And gradually, I could feel my breath again, little by little. And I practiced the half smile. And at one point, tears just came, and my heart began to soften. And at one point, I could feel my loneliness was being taken care of by the loving and the calm energy of the breath. I thought that was the Buddha's breath. That was the breath of the trees. And then I felt some relief. And I practiced like this, breathing in. Loneliness is still in me. Breathing out, I feel some relief. Breathing in, I smile. Breathing out, I am okay. Before that, I practiced the half smiling, but I couldn't smile. I don't think I was smiling. But I think that mindfulness, that awareness of the half smile, that remembrance of the teaching of the half smile, enabled my heart to open up and soften up. And gradually, the energy of love, of compassion and acceptance rises to my face and my lips, and then actually I could smile. And I continued to breathe in and out in that way, and at one point I felt big relief, I felt calmer, I felt more solid, and I felt space and a lot of sweetness in my heart. So I would like to offer this gift to every one of you here tonight. When a difficult feeling, when a strong emotion comes, please lie down right on the floor. And if it's not possible for you to lie inside, go out, especially in this weather. Go out. And if you still have enough clarity, you may drive to a park or to a river and just lie down or sit by a tree or lie down at the foot of the tree and practice like this. And if some tears begin to come, that's a very good sign. That's a sign that the ice in our hearts begins to melt. We are on the path of healing and transformation. We have started the car. There's plenty of gasoline. We just go. And what is more important is that there are many seats in this car. And once you can start this car, you can open the door and invite people around you to come up and have a seat in that car. And that's the path of a bodhisattva. We don't go on this path of happiness alone. We go with friends for support. We never go alone. And if you keep in mind that you never breathe alone, you never sit alone, you never lie down alone, then when loneliness or depression comes, you will never do that alone. You will never take care of that alone. Because you've been practicing breathing, smiling, listening to the rain, to the bird songs, not by yourself, with all of your loved ones, with all of your friends, with all of your teachers. Never, never watch at anything alone. When you watch the full moon, look at the moon and breathe in and out and relax your body. Smile to the moon. And then there are so many seeds in your heart for your teachers, for your friends, for your parents. And you never enjoy the moon alone. Please take this practice home and do it right tonight. When you leave this space, walk with the whole community. Don't walk alone. That is the secret. We have some time for you to share anything you would like to share, or if you'd like to ask any questions, you can do so now. Can you talk about volition and skillful means, balancing letting go and determination? Who would like to answer that question? Whenever I hear a question, in my heart right away, I need your help. Our volition changes with time, with practice. We may see that we have this volition right now, but tonight, during the night, we may wake up and go to the bathroom, and then we say, oh, no, that was not. So there are many layers here. When I was in college, my volition was different from my volition now. I used to work in a research lab at Georgetown University. I loved what I was doing. I had so much happiness every time I came into the office in the morning, and I enjoy every moment I was there. I enjoy everything I do. But with time, my volition changed. When I was pregnant, my son, my volition changed. And that's why I'm sitting here today. I'm no longer going into Georgetown every morning. When there is enough calm and stability and support, and clarity in your heart, you will be able to see clearly what your volition is every day. And when the volition is to bring more light, more understanding into the world, to bring less suffering, to bring more happiness into the hearts of living beings, then you can be very happy. But sometimes you are too passionate, too energetic on the path of, on the path you have chosen, that you can exhaust yourself. And we've seen people like that. We've seen people who have devoted their whole lives for the well-being of other people. And they did that in such a way that they had no time for themselves, for their families. Their heart was to serve, to help others. And at some point, they become so depleted. They don't have any more energy to serve and to help others anymore. And so that's when they begin to see there needs to be some kind of balance. What are we trying to bring to other people? We want to offer peace, love, joy. If there's no peace, if there's no love, if there's not enough joy in our life, we don't have anything. We don't have enough to offer to what other people need. And so the motto is, our happiness is the foundation for the happiness of others. If we are not happy, we cannot share the gift of happiness. There are things that we have to continue to let go. I say we have to, it's like we must. We feel the need that we need to let go. There are things that we need to let go so that we can fully embrace and devote our time and energy into doing what we believe to bring well-being to ourselves and others. Letting go in that case gives us a lot of joy. And we need to find that balance. And where does that understanding of balance come from? How do we find that balance? It comes from the practice of nurturing peace and space in our heart. Because if there's peace, there's space in our hearts, there's clarity in our mind. And when there's clarity in our mind, we do our best every day, every moment, to make sure that we move in the right direction, to fulfill our volition. It's a practice, it's the fruit of constant observation, of deep looking. It's not something that we come to an understanding today and we can take care of it right away. It's a gradual adjustment. It's a practice. And if you keep a journal, every day you can write on your journal your feelings and what happened with you today. How did the day go? And that becomes a kind of a North Star for you to move on the direction you want to move. And if every day we cry, every day we regret, every day we suffer, whatever kind of volition we happen to choose, we happen to have, we need to re-examine it. The volition we take, the volition we have, is that a wholesome or not wholesome? All we need to do is to look at ourselves and the people we are living with. If our relationship with them is wonderful, is good, if they're happy, if we're happy, then that's a wholesome volition. And if everyone is complaining, whining, everyone is upset at everyone else, and no one can talk to each other, so it's time to that's a big bell of mindfulness. It's time for us to stop and re-examine our volition together. Yes? What is your most precious experience? My most precious experience is right now I'm sitting here with you. Ah, it's very wonderful. I'm very happy to be with you all tonight. And so because I'm so happy, I would like to offer you a song. Would you like?
Yes.
Okay. You think I can sing? Breathing in, I go back to the island within myself. Or breathing in, breathing out. My brothers and sisters, what's your suggestion? Breathing in, breathing out. Okay, so they can join me. And some of you may know the song too. The images in the song are very healing, are very refreshing, good food. Breathing in, breathing out. Breathing in, breathing out. I am blooming as a flower. I am fresh as the dew. I am solid as a mountain. I am firm as the earth. I am breathing in, breathing out. Breathing in, breathing out. I am water reflecting. What is real, what is true? And I feel there is space deep inside of me. I am free, I am free, I am free. You want to sing with me? Breathing in, breathing out. Breathing in, breathing out. I am blooming as a flower. I am fresh as the dew. I am solid as a mountain, firm as the earth. I am firm as reflecting. I am water reflecting. What is real? What is true? What is real? What is true? And I feel there's space deep inside of me. And I feel there is space deep inside of me. I am free. I am free. I am free. We are free.